Richard Michelson is an old and dear friend to this program. He's a children's book author, and his new book is Next Year in the White House, Barack Obama's First Presidential Seder. It tells the true story of how a small Seder dinner on the campaign trail inspired Barack Obama to bring the tradition into the White House and host the first ever presidential Passover celebration. Look at these years. In 1800, President John Adams held the first formal Christmas dinner at the newly built White House. In 1878, President Rutherford B. Hayes observed Easter with a public egg roll. But it wasn't until 2009 that a U.S. president officially celebrated Passover. Richard Michelson is a poet, a children's book author, and an art dealer who hails from Northampton, Massachusetts, whose children's books have been listed among the 10 best books of the year by the New York Times, Publishers Weekly, and The New Yorker. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Richard Michelson back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Joe. It's been a while, it's nice to be back in this little booth here.
Yeah, delight to have you. I thank you for coming out and for doing this. I know you've been all over the place with this book, and it's beautiful. It's fascinating, and I'm interested. I mentioned 2009 of this event happening. At what point did it start to percolate that this was something that you would have that you wanted to address in children's book form?
Well, I first heard about the first Seder back in 2009. Eric Lesser, who was Massachusetts state senator at the time, was Obama's, shall we say, baggage handler. He traveled for a year on the campaign in 2008, bringing everybody's luggage to the right hotel, so everybody knew he considered himself the mom of the campaign. And I heard Eric talking about it because he was my state senator. A few years later, I filed it away and then promptly forgot about it, even though when I talked to writers and others, aspiring writers, I always say, write everything down, take notes. If it interests you, it's likely to interest other people as well. But I forgot. And then about 3 years ago, I got a call from Harold Grinspoon and the PJ Library. Some of your listeners might know the PJ Library. It's kind of like a Dolly Parton's gives away books every month.
Yeah.
Harold started an organization, the PJ Library, that gives away books with a Jewish slant to families. You can sign up. It's free. You get your child will get a book from the time they're born to the time they are 8 years old, one a month. And Harold knew Eric Lesser. He heard about the story of this first Seder. He thought it would be a wonderful PJ Library book. And he called me up and asked if I would be willing to write it. I've been fortunate. PJ has, I think, five or six other of my books, many about race relations. I grew up as one of the few white faces in a black neighborhood. This is my third book with E.B. Lewis, the amazing illustrator, and Coretta Scott King. And they asked if I would be willing to write it. And I said, well, maybe. I wanted to first, you know, I didn't want to have a deadline unless I knew I could turn this into a book that would be interesting for both children and adults. I asked them to set up a meeting with me and Eric Lesser. We had scheduled a two-hour lunch. Eric came up, and we talked about literally everything except the first Seder. It turned out we knew people in common. Eric had his ketubah, or Jewish wedding contract, done by one of the artists in my gallery, who also illustrated one of my books. But we got along famously. He left, however, giving me the original Maxwell House Haggadah that he had, shall I say, stolen while on the campaign trail for the first basement Haggadah Passover, and some other items. I looked them over and had an idea to turn it into the book you now see.
So the book, to me, is as important as the event itself, in the sense that this was something that up until 2009 had not happened, and now the event occurs, and you write about it, and so it's a first book about something like this, which I think is historically important, but also very interesting and entertaining.
Well, you know, the trick to me was to get kids interested in history. I did that by starting the book in the White House with Malia and Sasha, coming to the first Seder in the White House, and then the president describes to them why it came to be, how it came to be that he's holding this, you know, the first Seder where the descendants of two enslaved people are now celebrating in the highest, you know, house in the land. And he's explaining that to his daughters as he's explaining it to the readers, to us. And just briefly, the way it came about was he had three young staffers on his campaign. It was the lowest point of his campaign. He was in Pennsylvania. You probably remember it was right after the Jeremiah Wright controversy.
Yes.
When his pastor, who had said some things that were brought out again,
right.
Which were
and
very
this is
difficult.
During the primary with against with, Hillary.
Against Rodham Hillary, which he lost handily. It looked like his career was over, and he was going nowhere. Jews were abandoning his campaign in spades. But he had three young staffers, the youngest on his team. It was the first time they were not able to get home to share Passover with their families. And they decided to hold a Seder, the three of them, in the basement of the hotel they were at because they couldn't get home. And the three of them were on a table. They had left the door open for Elijah, as we do at every Seder, hoping he will come and usher in a new age of peace. And partly through, as it was beginning, there was a knock on the door. I'll give away, no, it was not Elijah, but it was President Obama, senator at the time, who was there. Not, there was no press. He was not there to try to improve his chances with Jews, with in the thing. He was just as a decent human being trying to support these young people on his staff who had been there for a year and were away from home. He wanted to give them some hope. At the end of every Seder around the world, people hold up their glasses and say, next year in Jerusalem, after they put it down. Senator Obama held up his glass and said, next year in the White House. And it seemed to be an impossibility at the time, but he inspired hope in these young people. And next year, it was in the White House.
Now, when you say it seemed an impossibility, and that was because we didn't, the conventional wisdom is that he wouldn't be able to beat Hillary Clinton.
Yes,
he did, and then went on to win in the general election. As far as the actual having the Seder, the first Seder in 2009, do you know when was that idea broached, and as did they realize that they were making the history that they were making?
They did not realize they were making history. It wasn't until later that some White House staff basically did the research and let them know. It was really a family thing. And the next year, Eric Lesser was working at the White House. He had a little cubicle. He was David Axelrod's chief of staff.
Yep.
And David was Obama's chief of staff. And a few weeks before Passover, Obama was walking down the hall. He stopped in front of Eric's cubicle and said, so, Lesser, are we doing the Seder again this year? And Eric looked up and said, well, I don't know, sir. And he said, well, last year I said next year in the White House. It's next year. And again, just showing the decency of the man, he could have had anybody in to this Seder that he wanted. People were calling when it was announced. I have to say, Elie Wiesel called to try to get a invitation. Jewish leaders around the country did. And Obama, again, without press, said, no, we're going to keep it to those young people who were with me at my lowest point. Now we're at the highest point. And he invited the same people who were at that first Seder in the basement to come and join him with some family members. They sat around the table, did it as a family Seder. And that tradition he kept throughout the 8 years of his White House, inviting the same people who became like family.
So the White House family, right? It was those are the people who
Well, when he joined the Seder on the campaign trail, he walked in along with some of his staff, Valerie Jarrett, who's now CEO of the Obama Foundation, was there, Eric Love, Jen Psaki, a few people who were his core group came and joined that basement Seder again. Came to join him in the White House.
So let me ask a specific question that begins specific and then becomes more broad, which is, what do you think it was about Obama, President Obama, that he felt interested and wanted to participate in a ceremony? And a ritual that was outside of his faith community,
mm-hmm.
And saw something in that, and what can we as human beings who may not be from the Jewish tradition take from that?
Well, I think that certainly the Exodus story, which is the center of every Passover Seder, was hugely important. To the civil rights leaders. We know Harriet Tubman was called the Moses of her people. Martin Luther King Jr. often referred to the Exodus as a way of hope for his people. And Obama grew up on that as well. So he did, during the Seders, as we were reading, he would talk about how the White House was built by black slaves, laborers. He identified with the move towards freedom, and he was also trying to bring people together. We're kind of in a different situation today, where we're being put into it separately and encouraged to attack each other. But Obama wanted people to come together. He wanted to see the commonalities between the histories of blacks and Jews. Later on at the White House Seder, in fact, at the end, they would add the reading of the Emancipation Proclamation. So that happened the last few years. He was looking for commonalities between people, between their heritage, as a way for people to start understanding each other and bringing each other together, and also creating a family.
It must have been a certain amount of fun in telling that story, especially in telling it for children, which is what you do.
Well, I loved writing this book and coming together. I enjoyed getting to chat with the principals who were there at that, first basement Seder when they were kids, and they've all gone on to impressive careers. And for me, it's a story, at the Passover Seder, one of the things that we are required to do is to put ourselves in the shoes of those people who were wandering 40 years in the desert, to realize that there are people today who are still enslaved, to be there. We every generation has to experience the Exodus for themselves. And for me, writing this book was a way to do that.
Sure.
It brought me closer to the tradition itself. And I'm hoping that, children and their parents will get from this book a sense of hope that we had at the time and a sense of reaching out to each other's traditions.
Richard Michelson's new book is Next Year in the White House, Barack Obama's First Presidential Seder. It's a beautiful book and a beautiful story. It is published by Crown and PJ Library. Richard Michelson, what a great pleasure. Always lovely to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Joe.
Wonderful to have you here. Again, the name of the book, Next Year in the White House, Barack Obama's First Presidential Seder. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.